Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study. This is week 10, day 1 of our study of Mark. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Mark 15, 1 through 15. Well, welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you today, God. We want to know you more through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Mark 15, starting in verse 1. Very early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. So, if you remember from our last study, Jesus has been arrested. You know, Judas came and he did the whole thing where he kissed Jesus and they arrested him, and all of the stuff in the Garden of Gethsemane happened, and now they've led him away. And this is all essentially going to be a very illegal trial. It was not legal for Jews to try people in the middle of the night, but they're doing all of this stuff to try and get this to happen before basically Passover begins, when it would be, I guess, super illegal. I mean, this is not allowed to begin with, so I don't know in their minds why it would be a little bit less allowed to do all of this illegal stuff during Passover, but they weren't going to do that. And so all of this is happening overnight. You know, we know that Jesus is being led away and he's being tried before all these people, before the Sanhedrin in the middle of the night. And that's when Peter is, you know, denies Jesus. All that stuff has happened. Now, you know, we finished with basically them saying, well, Jesus himself has proclaimed blasphemy. And again, it's not blasphemy if he's actually the Son of God. If he's actually who he says he is, it's not blasphemy. And in Jesus' case, it's not. But they've taken him, and they don't have the ability to kill anyone. Now, there's been different times throughout the Gospels where we know that they were going to kill Jesus on the spot, but they're not supposed to. Under the Romans, they're not supposed to kill anybody. If anyone is deserving of death or punishment like this, they're supposed to bring them to the Romans and let the Romans execute justice. That was kind of the agreement that the Jews had, and it wasn't really so much of an agreement. It was the Romans saying, this is how it's going to be. They let the Jews persist in the administration of their own laws. Laws that the Romans didn't totally understand or get because they thought, well, it's religious stuff, it's not legal stuff. And the Jews, to them, it's one and the same. But the Romans allow this. They allow them to do this. And so they're just not allowed to kill anybody or any kind of big punishment. So they bring Jesus to Pilate. And the whole intention here is they want Pilate to kill Jesus. Now the issue is going to be Jesus has, in their minds, committed blasphemy, which is deserving of death. There's no blasphemy in Roman laws. Like, Pilate's not going to put Jesus to death for blasphemy. And we're not going to get the detail in Mark that we get in some of the other Gospels, but basically Pilate's going to really struggle with figuring out a way to put Jesus to death under Roman laws. He's like, he hasn't done anything. And basically Pilate's like, I don't care about your blasphemy laws. He's not going to die for committing blasphemy because you said so. That doesn't work. And again, Mark gives us the Reader's Digest version of everything that goes on. We get little snippets from different Gospels. But Pilate's not going to put him to death for blasphemy. But he is going to put him to death out of fear. And that's what's going to happen here. Pilate is very afraid of losing control of the Jewish people. Let's continue on. Verse 3. The chief priest accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, so Pilate's asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus is like, "Yeah, it's like you say." It's still a weird way to answer Pilate, but he's basically acknowledged that he is who they're accusing him of being. So Pilate's like, "Well, then why do they want you to die? If you're really their king, why would you need to die?" And so So then he goes back to the chief priests and he says, he's who you say he is. Why should he die for that? So then they start lobbying all these accusations. And again, these are religious things. These are things that Pilate is not accustomed to. And there's some extra biblical information out there that it seems like Pilate really was what we would call an anti-Semite now. He basically hated the Jews. He was stationed in Israel and he didn't like the assignment. These kinds of bureaucrats, what Pilate was, it was very common for Rome to throw people out into the far reaches of the Roman Empire. And as they kind of proved themselves, they would work themselves up the food chain in the Roman bureaucracy, and they would get closer and closer. And the best job of all was to actually be in Rome. Everyone wanted to be back in Rome. They wanted to be someone important in the Roman Empire in Rome, not in Jerusalem. Not in any of these outlying places. And so Pilate resents being there, and he doesn't like the people that he's governing. And again, we don't get that necessarily from scripture, but we get that from extra-biblical sources, and it makes sense. And so what Pilate doesn't want is he doesn't want an uprising on his hands. We're going to see that there are uprisings that happen, and he has to deal with them, but he doesn't want a new one over this Jesus guy, and he can't figure out what's the problem with this Jesus guy. And not only what's the problem, is he's being accused and he's being silent. Who does that? Who gets accused of crimes that they're saying are punishable by death, and you just sit there like, meh? I mean, if your neck is on the line, if they're literally going to kill you most of the time, people are like, No, I didn't do those things that they're accusing. I'm not the person that they're No, none of that's true, right? That's what Pilate is expecting. That's what anyone would do. And it's the opposite of what Jesus is doing. And it's either blowing Pilate's mind or driving him crazy because Jesus isn't helping his case. Pilate doesn't want to put Jesus to death. I mean, he may not have liked the Jews, but he's not just going to go around randomly killing people just because someone asked him to. And so Jesus is in some ways causing Pilate some trouble here by not answering, because Pilate's got nothing to go on here other than the fact that he claimed to be king of the Jews. All right, verse 6. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. So here we see there were insurrections. And when we read things like Josephus wrote about these kinds of things, they weren't uncommon, the kind of insurrections that would happen. And generally, these are zealots, people that are trying to just make it hard for the Romans to govern them. They're terrorists, basically, and they're carrying out terrorist plots. And when we read Josephus, the kinds of things that they would do really were terror-inducing. I mean, they would cause panics, and they would sometimes just go and randomly kill somebody at the market just to cause a panic and fear and stampedes. And they would do this they didn't do it every day, but they did on a fairly regular basis when you read Josephus. And so it sounds like one of those kinds of things happened, something similar. And Barabbas is one of those guys, potentially a zealot, maybe not, maybe just a thug getting caught up in this kind of stuff, who is accused of, and I guess convicted of, murder. And Pilate says, hey, you know, there's Barabbas in prison, and he's going to basically bring out the worst guy that he's got in jail at the time and put him and Jesus before them and said, hey, I normally let someone out of jail. I pardon someone at Passover just to please you guys. And so he's going to bring Jesus and the worst guy he could find, right? Knowing that the people are going to take Jesus. They're not going to say release Barabbas, the guy that has been randomly murdering people, however it was going. That's the point here, is he's going to bring Barabbas out. Verse 8, the crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. What shall I do then with the one you call king of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him, they shouted. All right, pausing right there. All right, so he brings out Barabbas, again, the worst guy that he's still got in jail, in Jesus, knowing that and he knows the Pharisees, he knows the Sanhedrin, he knows these people, he's interacted with them. He knows that they're into money and power and all of that kind of stuff. And so Pilate is not talking to them. He's not talking to the Sanhedrin. He's not talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish leadership. He's talking to the Jewish people, the commoners that are there. And he knows enough about Jesus to know that they have liked him. He probably heard about the fact that when Jesus came in just a few days prior, and it's what we call the triumphal entry, you know, that they're laying palm branches down in their coats and saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They know that Pilate knows that the people have loved him. And so he's talking to the people, not to the Jewish leadership, saying, who do you want, the murderer or the one that you call king of the Jews, the one who is here to save you or whatever, in Pilate's mind. And it might have worked, but Pilate underestimated the chief priests and the people in charge of the Jewish people, because they're going around and they're shouting things and whispering things in the crowd saying, "No, crucify him, crucify him. We don't want Barabbas. We want Jesus. Kill Jesus. Release Barabbas to us. Release the murderer." And for whatever reason, it works, right? They're able to stir up the crowd to where even the crowd that just a few days earlier had loved Jesus start shouting, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Verse 14, "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." The problem for Pilate here, and again, like I said, Jesus didn't give him any response. And so he didn't give Pilate a lot to work with. And Pilate doesn't want an insurrection on his watch. Pilate's having trouble. In terms of the way that the Romans governed things, they were okay with cruelty. The Roman peace, the Pax Romana, as it was called, was a peace at any cost. Like, they didn't want insurrections, they didn't want skirmishes, they didn't want rebellion. And it didn't matter to the Romans if it took incredible cruelty to get it. The cross, being crucified, is one of the most incredible cruelties in the history of mankind. I don't want to say that it's the most cruel thing, but it is definitely in the top five, I would have to imagine. Dying on a cross was one of the most painful, lengthy, awful ways to die ever conceived of by man. The Romans were okay with incredible cruelty to achieve their goal of peace, no rebellions, no uprisings, that kind of stuff. And so they're okay with cruelty. They're not okay with uprisings. And Pilate has had some uprisings, and he doesn't want another one. He's afraid that these people are going to cost him his job with Rome. And that's what this is about. The crowd is unreasonable. Pilate's trying to reason with them, but they're getting more and more unreasonable. And he's afraid, and we know from other gospels, he's really afraid that they're going to start an uprising in the midst of all of this if he doesn't give them what they want. Verse 15. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. We know from the other gospels that he didn't want to do this, that even his wife was like, "I had a dream about this man. Don't do this." But in the end, it's Pilate's job on the line, and he's going to sacrifice Jesus to save his job. One of the saddest moments in human history. But we also have to remember and understand that Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly." Jesus didn't give Pilate the ammunition that he needed. Pilate wanted Jesus to respond to their accusations, not because he cared about Jesus or he cared about the argument or cared about any of that kind of stuff. He just didn't want to have to put what he thought was probably an innocent man to death. And so he's asking Jesus, "Give me something here." And Jesus won't do it. And then the crowd just gets angrier and angrier, and he's got nothing to refute their claims with. And he's afraid for his own job. He's afraid for his own head that if they riot, he may lose his job. And so he hands Jesus over to death. Not an innocent man. The only innocent man in human history. No person is innocent. Now, that doesn't mean that people aren't innocent of the crimes they've been accused of at times, right? If you've been accused of murder and you haven't killed anybody, then you're innocent of murder. But that doesn't make you an innocent person. We've all sinned. We've all done bad things. So Jesus was not innocent of things deserving of death. Jesus was innocent, 100% innocent, the only human being ever in the history of mankind who was 100% innocent. And Pilate sentenced him to one of the most cruel deaths in the history of the world. For the 10-Week Bible Study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.